Amen.
Praise God. Do you feel him in this room? Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verse 3. We are together moving with the Holy Ghost. Together we are engaging intentionally on his will. We're going into part two of our series of Bethany Was Different. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. The main part I want us to focus in on is, and she brake the box. She brake the box and poured it on his head. We're going to talk a lot about the anointing part next week, but our focus today is going to be about the breaking. About the breaking, and that sometimes we are being broken for the better. Lord, we ask you right now to continue to move in our midst. God, hearts are ready in this room, God. And Lord, many of us, oh God, are going through places of being broken. I don't believe you waste anything. And I'm believing, oh God, because of the breaking, God, you're going to make us better. I'm speaking that right now in faith that we are going to be better as we receive your word. That word is powerful, God. It is life-changing. It gives us solutions. And, Lord, we need it, but we believe, oh, God, you're going to release something in this atmosphere right now. And we believe, oh, God, that faith is going to arise, Lord Jesus, and you're going to give us a revelation that's going to change us, God, energize us, wake us up, God, and stir us to become better in the things of God, in our homes, in our families, in our jobs, God. You are going to impact us in a great, great way, Lord, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Someone clap your hands unto him and thank him for what he is about to do in this room. Amen. You may be seated. Talking about the breaking this morning. Now, we don't like talking about it. We don't like hearing about it. And we certainly don't like feeling the times in our life when we feel like we are being broken. But if we are going to have a growing relationship with our Heavenly Father, it is going to take breaking in order for us to grow. Quite frankly, it is the very thing that we fight and we avoid so often, while not realizing, not recognizing how much we underestimate it as it relates to the very thing that is going to get us to where God wants us to go. I got to make it clear upon time and upon time again that our lives is not about where we want to go as believers. Now, if you're not a believer, you can continue to live your life however you want to live your life. But when you begin to walk your life as a believer, then our lives are not ours anymore. That as I walk as a believer, I'm saying, God, you have a path for my life, and I have to get in alignment with that path. You're going to hear Pastor Barlow keep on talking and telling and reiterating that, because if I'm going to go to where God wants to take me, then I must also understand that breaking will be part of that process as much as I don't want to hear it. The funny thing about God is so much less concerned about our preferences, and he is more intentional about our potential. The problem is many times we don't see the potential within ourselves. We get in our ruts and we get in our routines, but God is not about a God of being comfortable. Come on, somebody. God is not the God, let me say it this way. He's the God of all comfort, but he's not the God of the comfortable. He is a God that understands that sometimes comfort is the enemy of growth. I'm telling somebody, the Holy Ghost is going to talk to us because he's talking to me. Because many times we find ourselves comfortable, and then we don't. When we get comfortable, we don't push in areas that God says, who told you to stop? Who told you to stop on pressing and believing? And sometimes when we get comfortable, God has to change our comfortable circumstances and to bring us to a place of growth and a place of maturity. And even though I don't like it, I'm still praying, God, I've got to grow, and God, I've got to mature. Is there anybody in this room that I might not like it, but God, I've got to grow, and God, I've got to mature. And that means sometimes things may get a little bit uncomfortable and will bring me to a place of humility. Oh, there's something about being broken that brings you to a place of humility. There's something about going through tragedies and trials of your life that brings you to no other place but to your knees and say, God, if you don't help, and God, if you don't move, need to have a dependency upon your might. How many want to be dependent upon yourself, or how many want to be dependent upon a mighty God? Huh. Lift your hands right now and tell him that. Come on, engage right now with the word, and we're going to take a moment. God, I want to engage in you being mighty in my life. God, I want us to be dependent upon you for my source, for my supply, for things in my life. You and I right now may feel broken in many ways. But I want to tell you that God uses broken things. Ah, hallelujah. People that have walked and are walking in greater connection and faith with God are because they are people that have been broken. If you point me to people in the Word of God that have the power and the anointing and the strength to go through various things in their life, let me tell you, it came because there were many places of brokenness in their life. And we as believers that are trying to mature cannot be in a place where we don't say, God, break me and bend me and mold me to what you want me to be. I want us to be trained to understand when I'm going through valleys and I'm going through low moments. God, I raise my hand in your presence and say, God, if this brokenness takes me to a deeper relationship with you, then God, I pray, help me through it. Even when I'm broken. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, faced brokenness. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. What was he saying? He understood that the road that I'm going to take in order to save humanity is a road that was paved with brokenness. And aren't you glad that even though he knew his body would be broken, he said, I'm going to give God thanks anyway, because I understand that because of my brokenness, people in this room are going to be better. People in this room are going to have a better life. People in this room are going to have a better tomorrow. People in this room can be healed of all sicknesses and all diseases and all problems because my body was broken. And people facing depression and worry and heaviness, I want to tell them, I conquered death, hell, and the grave, and I come to tell him, give thanks because I was broken. We need to know that brokenness is something that God has used time and time again for something greater to take place in lives of those that are his, that belong to him, the one that he loves. Things being broken can be a representation of God doing something. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, it was the second month, and it was the 17th day of that month, the same day where all the foundations of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And yes, we understand it was a tragedy for many, but that was only a tragedy for many because they refused to give their lives to the one and only true living God. But for Noah, it was a place of salvation. For Noah, it was a place of cleansing, because the whole world, all in their imagination, was only on evil continuously. And the Lord says, I'm going to allow the deep things to be broken up, to allow a purity to move in. Let me tell you, God might be breaking some of us to remove sin and shame and disobedience from off of our heart. And sometimes if I'm not living the way I should live, then God has to break me, not to destroy me, but allow the depths of the deep to get to a place where I know he is my helper and my savior.
Oh God, help us in our brokenness to be cleansed. There was a man who was paralyzed and could not go to see Jesus. But his friends got a hold of him and said, we are going to do whatever it takes in order to see a change take place in your life. And I always feel when I read passages like this, they say when we read things like this, this is the moment and the mindset that God want us to have. There were four friends that says we cannot fix this by ourselves. We cannot fix this problem that we're dealing with. We're not able to change a paralyzed situation. And right now, people right now, we're going through paralyzing situations. But the friends say, whatever it takes, we're going to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes, we're going to get his attention. Whatever it takes, we're going to make up in our mind. And it might take us getting uncomfortable. Because the easy thing would have been, the room would have been empty, and they would have had easy access into the presence of God. Let me tell somebody, sometimes access to the presence of God and the glory of God might not always be easy. It might not take two songs. Sometimes you're gonna break. Because it's more than just a motion that we go through. It's a mentality that God is trying to get us to get to and say, I cannot wait for somebody to make a way for me, because there were people in the way. They said, I don't care. I'm going to get uncomfortable. I'm climbing up to a higher level. Is there anybody that says, I'm tired of being comfortable and God is calling me to a higher level? Is there anybody that wants to go a little bit higher? That's going to take a little bit more energy. That's going to take a little bit more effort. It might not come so easy. It might take a raising of your hands. It might take an opening up your mouth. It might take coming down to an altar. But you're saying, God, whatever it takes, I got to break loose. I got to break out. There has to be a breaking. Someone clap your hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. There's going to be a breaking in this room. And the four men, they went up and they went up to the roof and they had broken it up. I don't know how hard it was to get through, but whatever it takes, they says, I'm getting my breakthrough. Is there anybody in this room that says, today I'm getting my breakthrough? Whatever breaking has to take place in my spirit, this has to be my moment and my day. This has to be the opportunity I take advantage of. Being broken many times has to do with God trying to multiply something. What do you have in your hands? He asked when there was a multitude that needed to be fed. Well, all we have is two fish and five loaves. All we have is a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm so guilty that sometimes we think that what we have is not enough. Well, in our hands, it's not enough. We are right, but we're not living just in our carnal, natural, logical state. God, help us get out of our carnal, logical, and natural state and say, God, I know it's not much, but God, you are a multiplying God. That's how I see you. I see you as a God that can go exceedingly above all I can ask or think. And so I got to allow you to break what's in my hands, break what I have, break what I have to give, whatever I got. I'm giving it over to you, and I'll let you be God. And they had a mindset to be obedient. And they gave the lack and the little that they had. Do you have a little worship? Can you give God at least a little bit of that right now? Do you have a little faith? Then give God a measure of the faith you have. And say, God, it might not be much, but I gotta give you what I do have. I gotta learn how to release what I do have. Maybe you're not on the mountaintop this morning. Maybe you haven't been for a while. Maybe you've lost your first love. Maybe you've been battling your faith and battling your commitment. I'm talking to somebody battling things in your life and you feel you don't have much to give. I'm talking about the breaking. Just give God what you do have. Give God a little bit what you do have and say, God, it might not be much, but here it is. Do it right now. Raise your hands. Give him whatever you have right now.
This is what I have. I'm engaging. This is what I have. This is what I have.
It's what I have. I'm tired. It's what I have. I'm weak. It's what I have. God, I got so much going on in my life. It's what I have, oh God, but here it is, oh Lord. He said, give it to me. Sit down in group. Sit down and get organized. Sit down. Calm yourself. And he, what did he do? He blessed it and he broke it. God's going to bless you. You hear what I'm telling you? God's going to bless you. But there's going to be some breaking. And you got to be prepared for the breaking. But if you can endure the breaking, there's a multiplying that God is going to do inside. Come on, somebody. I believe it. I speak the word of God right now. God wants to multiply my energy, multiply my faith, multiply my commitment, multiply my giving. But I got to say, God, it's going to be hard. He said, let me break you. Let me break you. Let me break you. Let me break you. I got something I want to bring out of that breaking. Being broken many times is the prerequisite to the breakthrough. Moses was broken on the backside of a desert. Hear me. Moses was rejected by his own people, rejected by Egypt. Could you imagine where he was knowing I was spared out of a river? People my age, they died. Males, they died. They weren't here. And yet I was spared somehow. And I ended up in the king's palace. Oh, God, help us to understand how valuable we are right now in this room. God, help us to understand how blessed we are right now in this room. There are thousands of people outside the walls of this room right now, strung out on drugs, perverted in all cases, all messed up in their mind and their life. And yet here I am right now. Here I am right now. Pharaoh is after me. My people rejected me. I don't have any more influence. I don't have any more prestige in my mind. There's no more hope for me to make a difference anywhere. I got so much going on. I was just hiding in the desert right here. I thought I would be something. So I'm going to just be content to just take care of my father's sheep. Some of us right now are ready to wave the white flag. And just say, I'm done moving forward. I'm done trying. I'm done progressing. I'm going to plant my field right here, my flag right here, and I'm going to be content in this place that God never intended me to stay in. Because I'm broken. I'm rejected. I'm frustrated. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know the whys. Why? It's just there that I'm going through. Going through. And in that place of brokenness, Jesus, help us. God got his attention and allowed a burning bush experience. In every one of our lives, there's going to be a burning bush experience. At every moment in our lives, God is going to present an opportunity to say, I know you've been on the backside for a long time. And I know you've been struggling with things in your inner spirit. And I know you've been wrestling with a whole bunch of things in your mind as human beings wrestle with. But I'm allowing a miracle to take place that you got to recognize. And you got to turn aside and see right now I'm in your midst. Right now I'm about to change some stuff. Right now I'm about to do some things. And it might have been a broken time, but that brokenness now puts you in a position that when you see God about to manifest himself, you rise up and say, I cannot miss this moment. I cannot miss the opportunity right now in my brokenness. If God is passing by and if God is manifesting his glory, then here I am, God. Don't let me miss the moment where change is about to happen. Don't let me miss my opportunity. Let me recognize right now what's about to change. Joseph, broken. Sold by his own brothers. The Bible says he cried out in that pit. Don't do this. Come on, guys. Stop joking around. Get me out of here. Now, I can imagine, wow, they left for a while, then they came back. He said, all right, you guys got me real good. Y'all had me worried for a moment. And they did pull him out. I can imagine how he felt on that way up. Whew. Until he got to the top and he saw
money being exchanged among people he did not know. And they tied him up and they gave him over to the Ishmaelites. Oh, he was broken. Oh, he was broken, left from his family. Oh, he was broken away from his normal routine. And oh, he was sold. And when he was sold, he says, I'll do the best that I can. In that moment that I'm in, I'll do the best that I can. In the moment I'm in, and then the best that I can. In the moment I'm in, I'm lied on. And I'm cast into a dungeon. I didn't do anything wrong. Anybody feel like you're going through a breaking and you haven't done anything wrong? You're going through a breaking and all kind of mess is happening in your family and you don't know why. Why is this happening to me? I thought I was a vessel of God. I thought I had a plan. I thought I had a vision that God gave to me. And here I am being broken. And then a dream happened to a baker and a butler. All right. I know what I'm good at. I'm good at interpreting dreams. What is your dream? Tell me. God is going to reveal it to me. And he told them, just don't forget about me. Just don't forget about me. Has anybody felt forgotten? Come on. You're in the breaking period. You're in the breaking season. We're in a season of brokenness. But in that place of brokenness, Joseph held on, and he held on, and he held on. And right now, you might not know what to do. I tell you, just hold on. Just don't let go. Just don't throw the towel. You're just in a season of brokenness. But because he stayed holding on, the opportunity opened up for him. But it happened because he was broken first. Raise your hand right now. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Talk to our heart. Jesus, don't let us move too quickly. God, deal with our heart right now. That's going through a season of brokenness, God. They're going through a season of trials and tribulations and misunderstandings and confusion. Saul, I rescued you from Goliath. Nobody else would fight. Nobody else would stand up. Nobody else would do the right thing. And I did it. And now you're throwing javelins at me. Sometimes the closest people to us are the ones hurting us the most. Sometimes the things that we're going through the hardest are those things that are around us that we thought were there to protect us and be by our side. And there are relationships that are broken, and there are jobs that are broken, and there are families that are broken. Let me tell you, you may not understand it, but you, your responsibility, our responsibility like David is to keep a right spirit and keep a right attitude. And come on, somebody, don't brush off what I'm saying to you right now. You got to keep your spirit correct and don't allow bitterness to move inside on your soul, because when David had an opportunity to kill his enemy, he didn't do it. In fact, hear the spirit of this man. He just cut off a part of his cloak, and he felt guilt even by doing that small thing, because he understood, I might have to go through a season of brokenness, but I dare not touch God's anointing. I dare not touch what God has put in my life. And I'm not just talking about the preacher right now. Some of you are anointed in your marriages. You're anointed on your job. Don't hurt what God has put in your life, even though you don't understand it. Say, God, I may not understand it, but don't allow any bitterness to move in my heart. If I got to be broken in order to get to the palace you're calling me to, then let me be helped by your comfort. I gotta go to you, Jesus. I gotta go to you. I gotta go to you. And here he is going through it now. He's running from Saul. Okay, I'll live among the Philistines and I'll pretend I'm on their side and I'll kill them. And one day he went to battle and he wanted to go with the Philistines to fight against Saul. Sure, he would turn against them. And the princes of the people, they knew that what he would do. They said, David can't come with us. Send him back home to Ziklag. He can't fight with us. His heart will be turned back towards Saul. Wouldn't it be a good thing for Saul that he kills us and says, Saul, see, you see, I'm for you. Tell him to go away. So now he's rejected by his own people and rejected by those he thought he could have just for a little while. Couldn't you be my comfort just for a little while? Couldn't you be my peace just for a little while? And he goes back to Ziklag. And most of you know this story. He's already broken. He's not the king. He's running. But sometimes when you're running, I get tired of running. Come on, somebody. Sometimes when you're fighting, sometimes you just say, I'm tired of fighting. Do we have all unlimited energy? I don't think so. We're pushing and we're pressing. And here David is giving all his energy, trying to do the right thing. And then he gets back to his home and it's all burnt up. And his wife and his children and all his possessions have been taken away. And yes, he had to cry. I'm going to cry when I'm in my brokenness. There's a season for me to have my emotions and cry out to God and say, God, I'm losing everything and I don't know why. I'm doing the best that I can and I don't know how to fix it. And it seemed like that I'm going forward and somehow things get put back. And here David is crying and the men around him, they're really crying. They're the grown men who are weeping and travailing because here they are thinking they're going to walk with David. I thought, David, when I joined your team, that everything would be all right. I thought, David, when we joined up with you, that we would never lose a battle. And they wept, and they cried. And they couldn't weep anymore. And David says, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to inquire of the Lord. Lord, in my brokenness, shall I pursue after my enemy? This is what I feel the Lord was adding to it when he was talking. He said, yes, pursue all, and you're going to recover all. But what I think God was feeling in his spirit was, are you telling me in your brokenness you're still willing to fight? David, are you coming to me right now in the hardest situation of your life when you have literally lost everything? You lost your wealth. You lost your accountability. You lost your respect because at this moment, there's no reason to follow you, David, anymore because you're not able to protect me as much as I could get from the house of Israel. And so he lost his reputation. Come on, he lost everything. And in that place, he inquired of God. I feel God saying, are you telling me in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your brokenness, you're still calling on me? Well, if you had that mentality and if you had that attitude, I'm going to tell you, yeah, go fight. You're going to recover everything. Is there anybody in this room? You're not praising God because everything's all right. You're saying, in my mess, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody stand on your feet right now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up, but somebody needs to understand what pastor is preaching. God is saying to somebody, if you're able to call on me in the middle of your brokenness, rest assured, I am going to come through for you. Lift your hands right now unto him. You're not getting mad at me, David. You're not complaining right now, David. You're not going backwards right now, David. You're calling on me right now, David. You're looking for direction right now, David. In your brokenness, oh, I'm going to bless you. Oh, I'm going to help you. Oh, I'm going to pull you out of your trial right now. If you're in your place of brokenness and you're not going to give up, then you must know a promise is on the way. In your place of brokenness, you got a different mentality. God is not going to leave you. God is not going to forsake you. But you got to make up in your mind, and you can't be forced to do it. You got to say, God, I'm pursuing after you. I'm pursuing after your will and your guidance. I'm calling on your name. Pastor, what are you saying right now? Saying right now for me. And my family, right now for you and all that belongs to you, this is not the season for us to throw in the towel. This is not the season to say it's just too hard. This is the season to inquire with everything I have on the Lord.
It's a season of prayer like I have never prayed before. It's a season of fast, come on somebody, like I never have before. It's a season of saying, God, bend me, break me, God, but I cannot, oh God, do this by myself. Is there anybody that wants to run down to this altar and cry unto your God and say, God, I might be broken, but I'm going to pursue. I might be tired, God, in the season I'm in, but God, I'm going to fight. How? I'm going to call on you, Lord. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to ask your strength. I'm going to ask your wisdom. I'm going to ask your help. Come on, every eye closed right now. I'm done. I want you now in your place of brokenness, in your season. You call on God. You talk to God. You reach out to God. You seek his face. I know you're broken, but this is the place where you find me. Call on his name. Everybody in this room, if you got to kneel down for 2 minutes, kneel down. I just want 100% everybody. I want everybody to call on their God. I want everybody to seek his face right now. Every heart on him, every heart on him. You might have a sickness you don't understand. You might have a battle you're going through right now. Call on him. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call. Hannah was broken, but Hannah had trouble. Hannah had issues, and Hannah was made fun of, and Hannah was prevented, and Hannah was provoked. But Hannah said, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get desperate for a move of God. I need you to move in my life, God. I'm going to consecrate in prayer. And she prayed, and she prayed. Year in and year out, she prayed. She called on God. Called.